It's indeed encouraging to be here once again this evening and for the presence of each and every one. As I put on the board here, it is encouraging, I know, to me and I know to this congregation that meets here from time to time. Before I begin my lesson, I just want to make a few comments. First of all, I just want to thank the congregation here for having the confidence in me to ask me to come here and to hold this meeting this week. And even though it was a three-day meeting, which I'm not too used to, I'm used to them longer seven-day or six-day meetings, but I think a lot has been accomplished, and I know it's built me up, and I hope that through the efforts of God's Word that we've been built up through His Holy Word, and that is our purpose of being here, is to not only worship our high and holy God, but to allow Him to admonish us and teach us the things that are so necessary so that each and every one of us can gather once again in that home in heaven. I prepared the lessons in the order that I did because we've noticed Wednesday night the focus was on not so much of looking at self and what self needs, but looking for the well-being and the care of others and looking to those around us when we talked about who is our neighbor, recognizing that we have a responsibility to go out and to help others who are in need. We use the example of the Good Samaritan, which demonstrated the physical need that a man had, and a perfect stranger assisted him and helped him and went well beyond what could be expected to make sure that he was well taken care of. And we used that and made the transition toward that of the spiritual needs that all around us need, and how that we need to go beyond and try to help and assist those, and not only helping them, but making sure ourselves that we are faithful and righteous in the sight of God. Then last night we talked about, if you will, the thought there of being the idea of the price that was paid and the price that we pay, and recognizing that the Word of God, heaven itself, and the very blessings and grace and mercy that God shows unto us is all priceless. And you can't put a price tag on it. And what God is offering unto us is far greater than any rubies or anything that we may possess in this life. It is far greater than that. And then tonight, being the last night of our meeting here, I wanted to look at the thought of the last day that any man will live upon this earth. When he talks about the last trumpet, I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there we find Paul as he makes this comment in chapter 15 there and verse 52. We find there, he says there, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." I want us to focus our minds tonight on the day that that last trumpet will sound. There are certain events that are going to happen, and we need to be aware, and prior to that happening, we need to be understanding that there needs to be preparation. And in the lessons that preceded this one, it's all about preparing for this day to come. We need to be prepared, because when we hear that last trumpet, there's not going to be any time left for us to make those final preparations. We're not going to be able to quickly come up with something and be pleasing in the eyes of God. So I want us tonight to look at this concept of the last trumpet. The sound of this trumpet, it says it will be a warning of something that is about to happen. And as Paul makes note here, that all these things shall happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This is not something that's going to go in the course of 2 or 3 days. This will all happen in a brief moment. It has not sounded as of yet, but rest assured, it will. Man looks at things a little differently than God does when it comes to time. A day with God is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is 1 day, he says. We look at things and we say everything stays the same. We don't see any difference. Why should I listen to what God has to say? Because he's warning us that all these things are going to happen. They're all going to come to an end. But I don't see that happening. Everything just remains the same. The seasons change every year. And everything remains the same. But rest assured, the trumpet will sound. The question then arises as to what is going to happen when it sounds. And that's what I want us to look at tonight. First of all, the one thing we need to recognize, that when that trumpet sounds, there's going to be a great resurrection of the dead. Notice with me in John chapter 6. Turn your Bibles. And again, I encourage you this evening, as I have every evening, don't listen to what Marvin has to say. I'm just a simple-minded man, and believe me, I couldn't get myself out of bed if it wasn't for someone telling me how to do it. We need to look to God's Word. Let God do the talking. All I'm doing is just sharing with you what God has said. So I encourage you tonight to get those Bibles open. If you didn't bring one with you, I know they've got them in the pews there, in the book holders. Please get a Bible out. And I will go slowly enough that you can follow along and find those pages as we go through this lesson tonight. But in John chapter 6, and notice in verse 39 beginning there, we find Jesus saying this, that this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day, he says. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Now notice, he's making a specification here. Those that will have everlasting life are those who see the Son and not only sees him and acknowledges him, but they also believe in him. They shall have everlasting life. And he says, I will raise them up at the last day. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again, going back over to the reading, and we find there again what is written there. And notice with me in verses 51 and 54 there. Again, we find there, and we're not going to read all of that, but notice in verse 52, he talks there that all this will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And he says in the latter part of verse 52 that the dead will be raised, but notice there, not in the physical sense, because see, that's what that corruptible, he's referring to this body, the physical body that God gave us, that God has lent unto us. This is a corruptible body. This corruptible body has no place in heaven. So there is a change that has to take place. And that's what Paul is referring to here, that the dead will be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. For this corruptible, as he says, must put on incorruption. And then he goes on to say there, talks about the mortal body, and he makes it a little clearer here. And he says that the mortal must put on immortality. This is going to change. This is going to be a change that is going to take place. And again, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We notice in John chapter 5 that this is not specified to just one certain group of people, but that all mankind shall be raised in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye. In John chapter 5, and notice there in verses 28 and 29 there, we find there Jesus again says this. He says, do not marvel at this, For the hour is coming which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Those that have died and gone on before us, those, no matter at what given time that God sends his son back, that given time, all those that have died and gone on before us that are buried in those graves, those dead will hear the voice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they will come forth, those that have done good, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. All mankind will be raised, whether they've done good or bad. Now rest assured, not all mankind have a place in heaven. And we'll discuss that here in a moment. But all the dead shall be raised. We talked a little bit both Wednesday night and Thursday night, and we've used the passages in Revelation chapter 20 and 21. We even touched a little bit in chapter 22 of Revelation last night. And again, briefly, I want to look back again to Revelation chapter 20 and notice there in verse 13. And I just want to remind us of what he has to say there. John says that he saw the sea and it gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. He's talking there again, and I'll make a reference again back to Luke chapter 16. You recall whenever we talked about that, it talks about the rich man and Lazarus. Both men had died. Lazarus was a faithful, righteous child of God. It was demonstrated, and we know that, because it says when he died, the angels of the Lord carried him up to Abraham's bosom, and now he was comforted. He was in a place of paradise. And then it talks about the rich man, as I said the other night, that whenever he died, he opened up his eyes after he had died the physical death, and it says that he was in torment, being in flames. And then the rest of the conversation goes on about the rich man begging for mercy from God. But we find here that he's talking here about that very thing, that death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works, whether they were good or bad. So we need to recognize here that this is just one thought, one thing, one event that is going to happen when that trumpet sounds. And again, keep in mind that this is going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Another thing that is going to happen is the judgment that is to come. We just briefly mentioned that right there in Revelation 20 and verse 13, that all mankind will be judged according to their works. We find there in verse 12, going up one passage there. And again, it talks about the small and dead, and it's the dead, small and great, standing before God. And it says the books were open. Now they were standing there, not just gazing at God, but they were there for a purpose. And that purpose was they were there to be judged, as each and every one of us. We will be a part of that congregation of people before the Lord. And each and every one of us, just as it says here, whether small or great, each and every one of us will be standing before God, and there's going to be the books opened, which we mentioned the other night also, that being God's word, that's what we're going to be judged by the things written in this word. That is what God, Christ will judge us by. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is referred to as the book of life. We mentioned that the other night also, talking about the book of life. Names are written in that book. Names of faithful Christians who have obeyed the gospel, lived their life in full commitment to God's word, and have been righteous in the eyes of God, who have lived their lives so that they might have that home in heaven. Those names will be written in that book. And that book will be open. And it says there in verse 12, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. In other words, our lives are going to be compared. Whatever I have done in my life, whatever I have said in my life, whatever I have thought in my life, all of these things will be judged according to what God says that I should have said, according to what God says I should have done, according to what God says that my thoughts should have been. He is going to make that comparison. And if my life does not compare to what God has commanded, rest assured, my name's not going to be in that book of life. Because it takes a full commitment to God. We must obey His will. And judgment is too late to recognize that fact. We notice there in John chapter 12 and verse 48 there, it says, the word that I have spoken, Jesus says, the same shall judge him in the last day. There's not going to be anything else. We can't plead our cases. We can't beg for mercy at that moment. God has given us plenty of ample time to make things right in our lives, to correct the error in our lives. For those of us that have never obeyed the gospel, God has given us more than plenty of time to recognize the need to be obedient unto Him. For those of us that have become Christians, but yet we've fallen away, we, for whatever reason in our lives, we've decided that, you know, I can do this without God, or, you know, I just don't have time for God at this moment in my life. We will be judged for that decision. This judgment will take place, and it will take place when that trumpet sounds. Another event that is going to happen is a material universe. All that we see around us, this earth that we live upon, that we walk upon, that we go to work day by day on, all of the possessions that we may have accumulated in our lives, all of these things are going to be destroyed. There's not going to be an earthly kingdom. So many people think that that's a, you know, they take the word of God, and particularly in Revelation, and they twist things around, and they get things out of context, and they think that Jesus is going to come back and rule in the literal kingdom. That is not His intentions at all. In fact, what we find is it says that when Jesus comes again, He's not even going to step foot upon this earth. It doesn't say that Jesus is coming to us. It says that He will, what do we say there at the beginning? We will all be raised in the end to meet Him in the air, not upon this earth. The whole purpose of Christ and the whole purpose of God's word throughout, even from the book of Genesis, when the first prophecy is made there that Christ would have to suffer in Genesis 3. The whole purpose was not for Him to create a literal kingdom to rule on. He's ruling in His kingdom right now. But when that trumpet sounds, it is not for Him to come back and rule on this earth. Why? Because the scripture tells us that this earth will be destroyed and all the elements in it. You turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35 there, and we find there that Jesus says there, heaven and earth shall pass away. That's what He says. Heaven and earth shall pass away. They're not permanent. These are only temporary. God created this earth only as a temporary abode. God gave us, lent us this physical body to only be a temporary abode. But one day, whether it is this night or tomorrow or 20 years from now, rest assured the trumpet will sound and all that we see around us is going to be destroyed. Everything will be destroyed. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We turn our Bibles back over to 2 Peter chapter 3. I want us to note there the writings here in verse 10 beginning. And notice what he says here. He says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now we need to really look at this very seriously. The day of the Lord will come. How's he going to come? Is he going to come up to our front door and knock on it? Or ring the doorbell? No. It says here he's going to come as a thief in the night. Unaware to anyone. We find here it says he's going to come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, he says, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And again, I'm going to tell you again tonight, just like I did, I think it was Wednesday night when I said, I'm reading these scriptures and I hope they do scare you. They should bring the fear of the Lord into you. Because rest assured, it will happen. Just as the floods came upon this earth and destroyed all of mankind with the floods, except 8 souls in the ark. This earth, as God has promised, and God's promises are always fulfilled, God does not lie. God says, and as his word says, that all the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. We need to be conducting our lives and being prepared for that day. Because if we're not prepared, we too will spend eternity in hellfire. He says, and not only should our conduct be holy and with godliness, but that we need to be looking forward and hasting for that day to come. You know, it is. It's a sad thing when our loved ones pass from us. But it is a glorious thing when that loved one or that close friend is a faithful child of God. Because see, they're moving on toward their eternal home. Just as someday we all will be going toward that eternal home. But if you stop and think about, and again, the thoughts of Revelation chapter 21 and 22, how that it describes heaven and the glory and the brilliance of heaven, who would not be looking forward to living in an abode like that? Because he says there, we need to be hasting and coming the coming of the day of God, because he says, of the which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. I want us to also look at another thought. When that trumpet sounds, punishment will be unto those who have not obeyed his will. In Matthew chapter 25, we find there that in the latter part of that chapter, it talks about this great separation that is going to come upon mankind. This is talking about judgment. It says that Jesus will receive us up in the air, but there's going to be a great separation. It talks about the sheep. It talks about the goats, those on the right and those on the left. The sheep are those that are on the right. And those are referred to in Matthew chapter 25 as those who are faithful and righteous in the eyes of God, who have done according to God's will. It also talks about those on the left, making reference there to the goats. And it says that those are the ones who have not done as God has commanded them. They've rejected his will. They have not abided by his teachings. And thusly, they've lived their life for themselves. And the separation will take place. And those that are on the left, they shall be punished. because of their lack of faithfulness to God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I can't put it any plainer than what the writer Paul has to say there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 through 10. He says, and well, let's go back, if you will, to verse 3. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So that we ourselves, we boast of you among the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which, he says, you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. See, the church, and what we need to recognize here, in the early infancy of the church, these congregations of God's people that Paul was writing these letters to of encouragement, they were facing persecutions like we would not believe from the world, from those outside the fold of God. And they were troubled from every side. And so he says in verse 7, he says, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven. Notice here he's talking about this day of judgment. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and notice the severity of it, he says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those, who's it going to be? Those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can't make it any plainer than that. God will take his vengeance, and as he says, the severity is in flaming fire, and it's going to be all those who are ignorant of God, who have never acknowledged God as being our Father, the Creator of all things, and for those who have rebelled and would not obey His will. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, that these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You remember last night I told you at the end of the lesson that eternity in heaven is also the same eternity in hell. There's an everlasting eternity that will happen to those who are being punished. This punishment is not going to be like slapping them on the back of the hand and telling them not to do it anymore. This punishment is not going to be, well, you are sentenced to 2 years or 25 years or whatever it is. No, this sentence will be eternal. It will be everlasting. It will never cease. The pain and agony and the torment will never end. I can't make that any clearer. And he says there in verse 10, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, though, because our testimony among you was believed. See, there are going to be those who are going to be faithful and obedient unto God, who are looking forward to his appearing, who are comforted by these words. But for those of us who are rebellious against God, who have sin in our lives that needs to be repented of, this is not going to be a joyous occasion. There is going to be fear and trembling. There's going to be agony and death. We find in Romans chapter 2, turn with me if you will, over to the book of Romans. And again, we find here in chapter 2, Paul again speaking to these Christians in Rome. And we find there in verses 5 through 9. And he says here, but in accordance with your hardness of your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God. Now keep in mind, this letter is written to Christians. And Paul is very strong in his language here. And he says here, because of the hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath, revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance, and that's what it takes. Sometimes people fall away from God because they're not patient enough. It requires patience. That's one of the seven Christian graces, is patience. We've got to work at that. Some of us got to work at that a lot more than others. But it takes patience. And it pays off. Because here, notice here what he says. Eternal life is to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking, who don't obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Notice what comes upon them. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. And it's not specific to any certain group. It says they're to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To all mankind. It is a blanket warning to everyone. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In Revelation chapter 20, let's go back again to Revelation chapter 20. And notice with me there, if you will, in that passage. And again, we just can't read it enough. We can't say that I understand it enough. We need to really see what God is trying to tell us here. In Revelation 20 and verse 15, notice what he says there. Anyone not found written in the book of life. You see that? Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What a horrible end to mankind. But it's an eternal end. Keep that in mind. It never ceases. It never stops. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, we find there that it talks about the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral, the sorcerers, the adulterers, and all liars, he says. Where do they have a place? It says they have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Why? Because as we said last night, there is no place in heaven for any of that. None at all. Their place is in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which he refers to as the second death. That's what awaits us. This punishment awaits those who have sin in their life, who have disobeyed God, who have fallen back into the world. This is what awaits you when that trumpet sounds. Another event that's going to happen is eternity will continue. Eternity will continue. Eternity is that word that means it goes on forever and ever. There's no end to it. You can't put a date on it. You can't put a time on it. It is consistent. It's all the way through. It never ends. And this is not just for the righteous. But notice in Revelation chapter 14, we're right there in Revelation, so turn your Bibles back to Revelation chapter 14, and notice who else this eternity is for. In Revelation 14 there, and notice verse 9 through 11, it says, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast, making that reference to that of Satan, if anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Now, a lot of people, and I've had them tell me this, well, I'm not under Satan's rule. Satan's not leading me around like some puppet. If you're not guided by God, there is nothing else. If you're not following after the instructions of God, then you are following after Satan and his devices. Satan has a great way of deceiving us, throwing those temptations at us day by day. We're all bombarded by those temptations. And he'll continue that till the day that the trumpet sounds. And here he says that each and every one of us, if we follow and worship the beast, he says the wrath of God is going to come upon us. And it says even more than that, it says, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. God's not going to hold back. His wrath is going to come upon us so hard with full force. And he goes on to say there, he shall be tormented. Who shall be? Those who worship the beast, those who follow after him, those who have not followed after God. It says there, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And it goes on to say that the smoke of their torment ascends, notice here, forever and ever. It will not cease. And they have no rest, no day or night. The torment, the pain, the agony will continue every breathing moment of their existence in this place. And as it says there, who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. We find also in Mark chapter 25 and verse 46. Remember I talked about earlier in Mark and Matthew chapter 25 about that great separation. And here we find in verse 46, notice what he says here. To those who have not done God's will, those who have rebelled against God, it says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. But notice here, but the righteous into life eternal. Eternal life with God in heaven. And again, Revelation 21 and 22 makes a very wonderful and beautiful analogy of what heaven is like. And you need to keep that in mind. Another thing that's going to happen when that trumpet sounds is the triumph of the saints. In this physical life, we are persecuted. We feel as if we're alone in this world at times. Now, I had mentioned the other night, though, that Jesus has always made sure that we understand that he is always with us if we're faithful unto him. But there comes times of disappointments in our lives, in this physical life. But when that trumpet sounds, all of that will go away. And we will triumph as faithful children of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, turn your Bibles over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's go back over there once again to the writings of Paul in 4 and verses 13 through 18. And notice here, as Paul concludes this chapter here, it says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Here the concern of these saints here, these Christians, were of their loved ones that had died and gone on before them. They were sorrowing over them. But notice what Paul has to say, words of comfort. He says, for if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And we've already looked at those verses of Scripture where we are promised that the dead shall rise. And in fact, they shall rise first. All those loved ones, all of those close friends that have died and gone on before us, they will rise and we will meet them in the air. And he goes on to say there, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. We will arise second. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel. Here's that trumpet again with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And Paul closes by saying, therefore, comfort one another with these words. What a comforting thing to know that one day we will all be together again as faithful children of God. The triumph is coming when that trumpet sounds. Going back once again to Revelation chapter 21 and verses 1 through 4. Again, as John spells out and shares with us his insight into that of heaven as God had given it to him. It says there in verse 1, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. What a wonderful thing to be with God. To finally be in the presence of God the Father. And look what God will do for us. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. He will remove death forever. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain. For all those former things shall be passed away. Like I said before, there is no place in heaven for those discomforts. Those disappointments are going to be gone. And we will live in comfort and security with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So my closing thought with you tonight, as we close out this gospel meeting, and I want you to think about this, not only just this brief moment, but think about this until you decide to make a change. And we hope and pray. Our hope and prayer is that you will make a change tonight. Your soul is in jeopardy. This congregation, they set up these three nights because of their concern for our souls. Let's take advantage of the opportunity that lies before us. If you have never obeyed the gospel, rest assured the trumpet is going to sound. And at what point in your spiritual life are you going to be when that trumpet sounds? Are you going to be faithful unto God? Are you going to be found a sinner? As we've mentioned time and time again these three nights, heaven, there is no place for sin. Heaven, there is no place for disobedience. Heaven, there is no place in there for rebellion. God is looking for a commitment from each and every one of us. And God assures us of his loving mercy. But it is only going to come to those who love him enough to obey him. And my hope and prayer tonight is that you see the need to obey that gospel. And if you are a child of God, we hope and pray that you will see the need to come back to the Lord. Because every moment, every breathing moment that we have on this physical earth is just one step closer, one breath closer to eternity. And you can rest assured that each and every one of us are going to hear this trumpet sound. And we better be well prepared to meet the Lord in that day. So whatever your needs are, we hope and pray that you will make your way forward right now while together we stand and sing the invitation song. Let us sing.